You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We're a national program. We provide a waste education to marae, to early childhood centres, to kura organisations. So we not only provide the education, but we also provide tools such as bins, wheelie bins, signage, so that it's easy for people to reduce waste. So we're basically helping people to set up recycling and composting systems in the first place, and then we work with them to help them design waste out, so through looking at procurement, like what are they actually buying, and often it's about changing the culture within a workplace or within a certain setting to denormalise some behaviours and normalise other behaviours. So for example, at a marae, would be wanting to denormalise the providing plastic jolly drink that's coloured fizzy drink at a meal, and we're wanting to normalise the use of say, providing water with some lemon squeezed in it in a glass jar, so that glass jar can be reused again and again to provide drinks on the table, whereas the plastic jolly drinks bottle is a single-use item, so that's used once. And then it's thrown away.
What would you say is the most problematic behaviour you've noticed that prevents more sustainable behaviours?
Yeah, I think it's in general, over time we have been accustomed to the convenience of single-use items. So, you know, if we go back to, you know, like when I was a child or when our parents were children, there weren't so many single-use items. So I think it's just we're living in a capitalist society where profits, GDP, economic growth are at the forefront of what we're trying to achieve. So the health of the environment or even common sense doesn't come into play. So the fact that we only have one planet and all of the stuff that we're making and then throwing away is actually made from non-renewable resources. So we're going to run out. You know, those are finite resources, so it doesn't make sense to take natural resources, make stuff, and then throw that stuff away when it's non-renewable, because what that means is we're going to run out. Basically, paper and cardboard are renewable, and we can plant like 20 million trees every single day, or 20 billion trees every single day, and in 20, 25 years' time, we'll have lots and lots of trees, so that's a renewable resource. But glass, which is made from white sand, you know, steel, which is made from iron ore, aluminium, which is made from bauxite, and plastic, which is made from oil, they're all non-renewable resources. So once, if we keep throwing everything in the landfill, or in Europe, they use waste to energy, so they're incinerating, burning all their waste, we're shooting ourselves in the foot, because those are all valuable resources that could be used again and again and again in a circular economy rather than a throwaway way of being.
Do you think New Zealand is doing enough to prevent things going into the landfill, or could more be done?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt, more could be done. The problem has been that we've had a national government in for 9 years, and that national government did not want to regulate at all. So overseas, it's very common to have product stewardship schemes in place. So that what that means is that when you buy a TV, for example, you might be paying $10 when you buy that TV for the recycling of the TV at the end of its life. So that's all electronic products. We could be paying for the recycling when we buy the actual product. And then what happens is that we've got free recycling of all these electronic products when we no longer want them. And there's a whole lot of schemes you can do. Like with tyres, for example, you could pay for the cost of recycling tyres when you buy the tyre. And industry, many of the industries within New Zealand, you know, would welcome mandatory product stewardship schemes. But with the national government in place, you know, previously, you know, basically nothing's happened for the last 10 years. And so this government, we are very hopeful, is going to be introducing some what they call priority products, so some mandatory product stewardship schemes. Hopefully soon. I know that they're working really hard on that. And so what that will mean is that less valuable materials will be sent to landfills and more valuable materials will be reused again and again. And because when you keep things out of landfill, what you're doing is you're creating economic activity. And that's because recycling creates roughly 9 times more jobs than landfilling. When you're throwing things away, all you need is a driver to drive that truck and trailer unit to the landfill, and then they tip it out. But when you recycle things, you have to drop them off, you have to check them, you have to sometimes pull things apart, you send those materials over there and those materials over there, and then there's more reprocessing. So there's lots of jobs when you stop things from going to landfill.
Do you have any thoughts on currently New Zealand sends a lot of our recycling offshore to be processed?
Yeah, I guess it's that that convenience factor once more. There's been no regulation in terms of what types of plastic companies can produce and package their materials or their food in. And so what that means is that the companies always go for what's cheapest to package whatever it is that they're selling. And so over time there's been a whole lot of different types of plastics that have been more common. And because all plastics have a number from 1 to 7, and so these plastics numbered 3 to 7 aren't valuable. So they aren't very, no one really wants them. And for years and years we've been sending them to China. And then China said, oh, you know, no thank you. You know, we've got a lot of people, we've got a lot of recycling ourselves that we need to deal with. And then the plastic started going to Malaysia and Indonesia, and now Malaysia's also saying, we don't want your plastics numbers 3 to 7 either. So what this means is that we have to take responsibility for the plastics that we are creating and try and create onshore solutions. And we also need to stop using plastic, you know, to package things. And as consumers, what I would encourage people to do is to reduce the amount of plastic that they actually purchase, because plastic there's nothing really good about plastic recycling. When you recycle glass, for example, you can recycle glass endlessly again and again, and the same as with steel, over and over. But with plastic recycling, we call it downcycling. So what's happening is plastic is always still going to landfill, and that's because you might recycle the plastic bottle into something else, but it won't be recycled again and again. Say a plastic bottle is made into a polyester top, once that top is stained or ripped, even the Salvation Army reuse store won't want that polyester top, so it will go to landfill. So, and only 9% of the world's plastic are recycled, and a large percentage of plastics escape to the environment. So, obviously, to waterways, to the ocean, causing massive problems to life. Tamariki a tangaroa, drain of the sea.
There's been stuff going around now saying that you have to use a canvas cloth bag or a usable item like 1,000 times to make it worth the resources put in to use it. Do you have any response to, you know, that's kind of a new thing that's popped up now. People saying if you buy like a glass keep cup, the amount of resources and heat used to make it, it makes it not worth it. That's just a question I'm posing to you.
I can't, you know, like, I guess each product has, you know, you have to assess the whole life cycle of that product. So, but my understanding is generally when you break it down, When you hear those claims, often it's coming from a group that is invested in, you know, the disposable coffee cup, or the group that's invested in the plastic bag. So you have to look at, you know, who's making the claim, and what they're taking into account and what they're not taking into account. But the simple fact is that we don't want to replace plastic bags with another single-use paper bag. What we want to do is we want to get the bags that are in our homes, that are in our wardrobes, that are in our drawers, that are in our cupboards, and we want to reuse the bags that we already have. So my understanding is that reuse will always be better than any single use or any recycling system. So a keep cup, you know, I've got cups from my mother's grandmother. You know, I'm still using a cup that would have been used maybe 80 years ago at home.
So
for me, reusing is way better than any single-use activity.
It sounds a lot like a mindset thing, like a mindset shift, not have that consuming, single-use kind of idea.
Quite a lot of it is about stop buying things you don't really need, and when you do buy things, buy high quality that's going to last a long time. So buying less junk, buying less crap, buying things that are valuable and that will last a long time and that people will enjoy and find really useful.
And then my final question is just on food waste. I know that's also something that feeds into a lot of waste as well. Do you have any thoughts on how, you know, how we can work together in mitigating that?
Yeah, well, food waste, I mean, there's a lot of... One thing about food waste is that presently in New Zealand we don't have a robust infrastructure for composting. So throughout our regions there aren't a lot of places that will take food waste that can be composted. And so that means the only kind of options that are available generally are, you know, home composting, so worm farming, for example. So that's a problem that the government and local councils and MPs and councillors and mayors need to tackle is setting up that infrastructure so that food waste can be composted and used as a resource instead of being sent to landfill, where organic waste in landfills breaks down anaerobically without oxygen, and so it turns into methane, which is like 20 times worse than carbon emissions. So methane's a global warming gas. And then I guess with food waste, to prevent food waste, you know, it's about, there's a lot of things you can do. So again, like you were saying, it's kind of like a mindset. So valuing all the food that you have for the nutrition that it can provide, and make sure that you're cooking and storing foods in a way that ensures that it doesn't, that you don't waste it. So using leftovers from one meal and into another meal, and storing your food well so that it lasts longer, so it's more likely to be eaten rather than thrown out. I guess the main point is that we need to align with nature. So we need to become compatible with nature, because we always have been, up until very recently, we've lived within the principles of zero waste, and all other species live within the principles of zero waste, but we've created this linear system of take natural resources, make stuff, and then throw that stuff away. So our aim, the thing we have to work towards, is becoming circular again, so that anything that we don't want is used by someone else or something else and goes into another process. And it's about bringing back like the values of thrift as well, so that we understand the preciousness of resources, you know, which we had within New Zealand culture and decades gone by, where things were precious and you reused them again and again.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.